you will download your heart for us into Zach's heart. In the name of Jesus, download your heart for us into his heart, and let his words come out with the passion that's in your heart, the love that's in your heart for us, in the name of Jesus. Let it be a conduit of your love, of your nature, of your power, in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray that at the end of today, that we would none of us would be as we came in. In Jesus' name. We open our mouths to receive from you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you, guys. Yeah, thank you. It's an honor to be here again, and thank you. Thank you so much. I should lie down and soak, because you guys have made it so easy for me to be able to. Wow. So you just soak in Jesus' name. My goodness. I'm going to lie down and soak. And soak for Jesus. Yeah. How many were here last time when I came? How many people were here last time when I came? Oh, wow. Such a number of you. Yeah. Those who weren't here, I pray for you. You have no idea what you're getting into. I pray for you. Put your own hand on your own head and said, I'm getting a good thing today. I'm going to share something that, listen, they've given me the freedom, and they say the way I speak in my church is where I speak here, because I have the freedom. And in my church, I laugh, I make people laugh, I make people cry. And I myself laugh, I myself cry. I'm going to be myself. And it's good to go to a place that you can be yourself, that you don't have to be anybody else. And so the way I talk is the way I'm going to talk. The way I talk in my church is the way I'm going to talk. And the way I talk at home is the way I talk at church. Yeah. So, boy, I've never seen me. Do I need maybe I need another 5 inches tall? This looks like I'm in heaven, you know? No, I'm just kidding. But let's open our Bibles. I'm writing a book, and my book is going to be coming out soon. Hopefully next year, hopefully by December, my book will come out. Those who don't know me, I'm an ex-Muslim imam. I've been a Christian for the last 20 years or more. But what I've learned is what I'm going to share. So let's open our Bibles to the two scripture verse. So I don't need my notes, okay? I just want to, it's just scripture verse so that I can quote it correctly. So let's open our Bibles to Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Let me see if I can get it on my... No, I can't get it on that, since I don't have internet. All right. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Is that the... Okay, that's a different... Okay, I'll get it on a new one, on a different version. Jesus version. Let me open Jesus Bible version. I know it offhand, but I just want to quote it properly. Jeremiah 33... All right, he said, call upon me, call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Call upon me, But put your finger on that, and now let's read John chapter 10, verse 27. Let me just read it. Let me read it. That one, I have it in a different version. It said John chapter 10. Let me start from verse 24. So the Jews gather around him. This is Jesus talking about the Jews. Jesus was with the Jews, and these Jewish people, they were very skeptical. They were very skeptical. They weren't really for him. But they were gathered around him because they knew he had something for. He had something. He was very knowledgeable, and they wanted something from him. They didn't like him, but there was something. There was something that grabbed their attention. So here the Bible says in John chapter 10, verse 24. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense?" Because they were coming to him for signs and wonders and miracles. They were expecting miracles, what? To happen to him, to happen to them. So some of them came up with their hands open because they were poor and they wanted money. Some of them wanted healing. Some of them wanted to tempt him. But they were gathered together in front of, there was something they were looking for. There was something that captured them, that brought them to this Jesus, to the rabbi. There was something about him, but they were asking, "How long will you keep?" You know what? You know when you go to a place, watch a soccer match, you want to see the goals. You like the people to dribble and cross the corner, but it's the goals that is important. Isn't it true? Or when you go watch a football match, we call it soccer. Let me change. Football, when I say soccer, everybody's looking at me and say, "Oh, what is he talking about?" But it's called football, right? The reason why you go to watch a football match is to get the scores. Isn't that true? These people were waiting for the scores. Jesus, will you stop keeping us in suspense? You know, when it's 10 minutes to the end, all the crowd stand up. They all stand up. They want to see who's going to score the goal. Everybody's trying to, when they cross the ball, everybody's, you know, when the ball goes over and they go, everybody's eyes is all over the place. You know why? They're waiting for the prize. Who's going to score the goal? And you know what? It doesn't matter who kicks the ball. Is the one who scores the goal is the one that is very popular. Is it not true? This is the children, the Jewish people, the people who came to see Jesus, they were saying to Jesus, "When are you keeping us in suspense? When are you going to score the goal? When are you going to bring the healing and signs and wonders and miracle?" But he wanted to soften their hearts, so prepare their hearts for the miracles to happen. But they wanted to go. This is what Jesus, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If we see the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I tell you the truth. You do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, he bears witness with me." I'll come back to that. "But you do not believe because you are not among the sheep. My sheep hears my voice, and they know them, and I know them." I'll come back to that. "And they follow me, and I give them eternal life." Let me read it again. He said, Jesus told them, "You do not believe." So Jesus was trying to tell them something. They didn't care. They wanted a prize. They wanted a goal. They wanted the healing, the miracle to happen. But Jesus wanted to prepare their hearts. He wanted to prepare their what? Their hearts. He said, "As I'm telling you, sir, you are not believing me. You just wanted a prize. You just wanted the gold. All you want is the goal." The goal of an evangelist is to win souls. Huh? When an evangelist comes to a town, he wants to win souls, and guess what? They play music. They introduce everything they can introduce you. They quote scripture verse. And the guy comes to speak. He speaks so long for 40 minutes before he makes the altar call for them to get the prize. Why do you think he does that? Do they ever think of that? Why do you come to a church service and the pastor speaks, they make coffee for you? They give you cookies. They give you cake. They give you cream. They give you water. They give you water. Why do you think they're doing that? I'm just trying to get your... Why do you think people do that? It's to get your heart. It's to make you relax. It makes you feel what? Comfortable. So that the word can penetrate through. Because when you come to a place and you are intense, you see, the last 10 minutes when the goal is not scored, everybody's tense. And people can bump people's noses. Do you notice that? People can move up because everybody's, you know what? And if you are not tall on that day, you're in trouble. Everybody starts to block your face. And the ball goes over there. And you know why? Because everybody wants to see the goal, to see the prize. And the Jewish people on that day, they're trying to see. But Jesus has a plan. He gave them coffee. He gave them tea. But they wanted it to Jesus. I know you love people. I know. You know what, man, Jesus went to Mary and Martha's house. Mary wanted the gold. Martha said, Jesus, let me just feed your heart. Jesus, let me move on. Here, look at the story here. Oh, I love this story. He said, the works that I do in my Father's name bear witness to me. These people, he knows when he starts doing the signs and wonders and miracles, he's going to prove a point. But can you imagine? I mean, the church will be over very soon. People come to church, boom, 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 everybody gets healed and everybody goes home. Guess what happens? As soon as Jesus comes to the room and heal everybody and send everybody away, it's not fun any longer. Do you understand what I'm saying? But he needs you to get the meat. Because so that your healing will last forever. If he gives it to you. You know, I do this in my house. If my son didn't work for it, he doesn't appreciate it. You know what I'm saying? If I give him something for free, he said, Dad, thank you. But if he asks his own personal money to reevaluate it, more than what? Me giving it to him for free. If I give him for free, he said, oh, Dad gave it to me. Thank you. But I'm not talking about that with Jesus. Jesus is saying the people wanted this miracle signs and wonders. They wanted to be around Jesus. They wanted to hear what he had to say. But he's trying to draw them to the Father because he's putting the attention. And Jesus was a wise man. He's taking the attention of himself and bring it to the Father. He's trying for them. All the attention was on Jesus, but he's trying to take the attention off himself and point the matter to the Father. That's what he said here. He said, the work that I do, in my Father's name, bear witness with me. But you do not believe because you are not among the sheep. So Jesus was trying to tell these people, you know, there are different people who come to see Jesus. One of them, some of them are the sheep. Huh? But he is saying to those people, they weren't his sheep. Sheep follows the shepherd. But all these people came, that's what they were expecting the miracles to come in because they came to get the miracle. They weren't coming for Jesus. But Jesus said, and this is what I love about him. He said, my sheep will hear my what? My voice. You know, people ask this question every day. People struggle with this. I can't hear God's voice. Are you his sheep? Because his sheep will hear his voice. His sheep will hear his voice. And this is what I'm talking about. This is what I do. This is my life. Hearing God's voice. That's part of who I am. If I don't hear God's voice, I'm in trouble. If I can't hear God talking to me, this is what I say, Lord, the day I don't hear your voice, send me home. Whoa. How can you make that bold statement? Yes, because I do hear his voice. And you know what? I say, Lord, the day I'm not hearing your voice anymore, send me home. Because the key to the Father's heart is his voice. The key to the Father's, everything the Father does is his voice. That's why Jesus, my sheep will hear my voice. And how many people are born again Christian today? If you are born again Christian. Okay. Those who haven't raised up your hands means you're not a born again Christian. Or you just don't want to raise up your hand. Who is a born again Christian? Let me see. Born again Christian. Okay. So there are few people who are still not born again Christian here. And I'll tell you the reason why. How many people did somebody come to you? Thompson, you better give your life to Jesus. How did God speak to you when you gave your life to Jesus?
I just heard him for myself.
You heard him for yourself. Did somebody tell you to hear his voice?
No.
So you see, I'm going to teach you something today. This is what Jesus did for me. Nobody, he who makes you will know how to speak to you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He who made you will know what you need for him to speak to you. So, one, Tamzin said, God spoke to her, and she said, so you see, God has made a special suit. God has made a special suit to speak to Tamzin only. The day Tamzin gave her life to Jesus, it is between she and Jesus. The way God spoke to Tamzin to give her life to Jesus is different from the way God spoke to you to give your life to Jesus. Is it the same? No. We are two different people, and he spoke to both of you. The way God spoke to you was different from the way God spoke to you. Did somebody teach you how to hear his voice? No. And now, it's good that somebody can teach you how to hear God's voice in a different way. But let me tell you, this is the truth. Nobody can teach you how to hear his voice. He can. Nobody. Let me rephrase it. Nobody can teach you how to hear his voice more than he himself. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I can explain to you how I hear God's voice. I can tell you how I hear God's voice. I can tell you how he speaks to me. But I can't tell you how he should speak to you. I cannot tell you how he should speak to you. He knows you better than I am. He knows you better than Graham. And he can speak to your heart more than Graham would. Even though Graham spoke to and capture your heart, but he knows how to capture your heart more than Graham will. Yes. He knows how. So my sheep will hear my voice. He has to be a way that because you are his sheep, you have to hear his voice. Amen. You have to. In order for you to become his sheep, you have to hear his voice. Yeah. He said, my sheep. And you know what? Let me explain. There's a difference between hearing and listening. We Christians listen. You know, when we listen, we talk. When you hear, it comes with action. I'm trying to teach you something. When you listen, when people say, I'm listening to God, that means you're hearing, you're speaking with, you have two mouths with one ear. When you listen, you have two mouths with one ear. But when you hear, you have two ears with one mouth. And let me explain to you why. Because when you're listening, People talk more than they listen. That's how in life, that's how we're taught. We think we're good listeners. We talk more than we listen. See, when I'm talking to Tamzin, my wife is an example. Let me give you my wife. I get into trouble, but I finally got this. It took me a long time, but I got it. We're sitting down and talking, and she said, honey, can I talk to you? And I said, sure. And she's talking to me, and I'm playing on my laptop. She said, honey, you're not hearing me. I said, I'm listening to what you're saying. She said, but you're not here. You're in Africa. And I said, no, how can I be? I'm in Canada. I'm in my own house. I said, but you're in Africa somewhere. Your heart is not here. I said, how can you tell? He said, but I know you're hearing the word. You are listening to the words that I speak. And you know what? I can repeat verbatimly what she said. Does it mean I'm hearing her? No. I'm not hearing her. And I'm saying, what's the matter with this lady? I mean, I sit down with you, we laugh and we talk, and she said, I'm sharing my heart to you. I said, yeah, I'm hearing. She said, you're not hearing my heart. You're listening to my words. How many ladies could understand what I'm talking about? Oh, wow, the men are in trouble here. In big trouble. He said, honey, you're hearing my words. You're not hearing me, you're not hearing my heart. And I said, but I can, he said, you're not. So I finally got a clue. I mean, for years, almost like a year, 2 years, and I'm saying, what am I doing wrong? And she came to explain to me. It's not about you paying attention. And I find out I got this. Because I can be talking to Tamzin and I can give her my full attention, but I'm not here. You know what I'm saying? She can say all those good things, but I'm not really there. That's why one of the things God has given me advantage of when I'm prophesying over people. Huh? When I'm prophesying. I learned the same way my wife taught me. I learned to do it. I put my full attention. And the person. I don't look here, look there. I'm putting the full attention so that the person can catch it. Because if I'm speaking and I you know what I'm saying? I'm distracting her from hearing what I'm trying to say. But I know how God can capture my heart. So but Jesus is saying, my sheep will hear my voice and they follow me. This is what he's saying. That when he speaks, because we are his sheep, we do hear him. And when you hear something, you follow what you hear. When you don't hear, you don't follow. When you listen, you don't follow. You can listen to the radio. You can listen to music. But unless there's a hearing has action attached to it. And Jesus is saying, anytime you hear me, there's an action to what you hear. And this is so important to every Christian. When you hear God, there's always an action attached to hearing from God. Look at Jesus. He said, I'll only hear and do what I see the Father what does. He puts his words into what? Action. Action. And if you want to be effective in the kingdom, you have to learn how to hear. You have to learn how to hear. If you want to be successful in the kingdom, if you want to be successful, if you want to have a fulfilled life, you have to learn to hear him. If you really want to be successful in everything you do, you have to learn to hear God. Because when you hear him, you follow instruction. When you follow instruction, I'm telling you, that I have never seen anyone who obeyed God and become unsuccessful. It doesn't work that way. He said, my sheep will hear my voice and they follow me, because that's what Jesus said. I can do nothing on my own. I only do what I see the Father do. And that's what Jesus said was very what? Successful. And here he's saying, my sheep will hear my voice, and they follow me. And I'm going to teach you three things, and then we'll see what happens. Number one, God speaks to everybody, okay, including the devil. Okay? So God speaking to anybody is not the key. It's God speaking to you is the key. God speaks to the devil all the time too. The devil speaks to you too. The only success that we can have is when God speaks to us and we obey. You have to learn to be obedient if you want to be successful in the kingdom. There's a king, and his kingdom. Let me explain this. The king has a kingdom, and the kingdom has its principles. Okay? God is the king. He's made a kingdom. And in his kingdom, if you have to learn to obey his kingdom principles. Tamzin and Grim and Tamzin are the king and the queen of their castle, of their home. You see that? They are the king and queen of their castle. When we come to their castle, we have to obey the what? The principles of the castle. Otherwise, we wouldn't last longer there. That's what thieves, when they come to your house, if they don't obey your castle, that's why they sneak in at night, or they sneak in to steal something because they're not willing to obey the rules of the castle. In my house, I'm the king, and my wife is the queen of the house. Anything that comes to my house, whether it's including flies, when they come in, I kill them because they don't pay rent. They don't.
Your house is a no-fly zone.
Huh? You don't have flies in your home?
Your house is a no-fly zone.
Yes. No mosquito zone, no fly zone. And no devil zone either. Because when they come, they can't come in there because they don't belong there. The cross is always at the door. The cross, if you can bypass the cross, you survive it. You are one of us. If you come in and you're not one of us, you can't come into that door. So at the beginning, when God was teaching me this, my wife would go and get groceries. I'm so diligent in this. My wife would go and bring groceries and say, "Hey, honey, put the groceries by the door. I'll come in." He said, "What's the matter with you? I'll come and pray over it." No. Let me bring it inside. No. The gate is the door. She put the food outside, and I lay my hands on them and said, "I bind anything that is not of God in there, because this thing, as it comes to my house, is what? It's clean. No sickness." Listen. So I speak into those things before she, because I don't know how many people attacked that grocery before coming to my house. I don't know. I'm not saying she be legalistic, okay? But I do. I'm telling what I do in my house. So I come into the house. I pray over the food, and even I've been doing this so much. People say when you drink pop, how many people like pop? You pop? Like, is that what they call it? Coke? Pop? You don't drink pop? Oh. Coke. You don't drink Coke? No, I'm talking about Coca-Cola. Not Coke. Not skunk. Okay? I'm not talking about skunk. Okay? I drink Coca-Cola. I drink diet. And as soon as I'm drinking, that's aspartame in it. Hey, don't think it's aspartame in it. It's dangerous for your body. I say, when I pray over it, it's not dangerous for my body. Because when I speak to that aspartame, it will not affect my system. Because the Bible says, What I put in will not defile you. You hear what I'm saying? I speak to everything chemical that is put in the food. And I said, this is, you know what? Because the Bible says, everything I do, I should choose life, not death. He said, I set before you life and death. Choose what? Choose life. I set before you life and death. So, the communion, the cookies, the aspartame, I set before you. And people say, oh, Pastor, you don't understand. They say, it could cause damage to your system. I say, not when Jesus is concerned. I speak to that aspartame. I say, aspartame, you turn to the right ingredient for me, for my body. Because as long as I have you in my hands, I own you. Well, see, this water, Graham gave it to me. But the moment I begin to drink it, it becomes what? Mine. It's no longer Graham's. You hear what I'm saying? So when I drink this water now, it's mine. It's not, it doesn't go into his stomach. But he gave it to me. So I say, Lord, everything that is in this water, it should listen to the word of God. It should listen to the word that will be good for my system. I said this in my chair. People laughed. But it's the truth. I said before you life and death. I drink water. It goes into my system. It cleanses my system. And it comes out too. It comes out clean as well. Do you understand what I'm saying? I eat bread, and the bread dust in my system, and it clean. I speak to it. It cleanses my system, but it comes out the other end, the other side. Okay, that's clean too. And do you know what they say, that human feces is more fertilized than cow dung? Have you ever heard that before? Yes, human feces is more fertilizer than cow dung. In Africa, people use human feces to make food. Oh, never mind. By the way, do not let us deceive ourselves. We finish all the thing, it goes into the water, they recycle the water, it comes back into us again, we drink it again, and they recycle it again. The same water, they say, look, it's the same water, it's not a change, it's just they're recycling and cleaning it up properly, and you're still drinking the same water. So don't let us deceive ourselves and thinking we're drinking clean water. It's the same thing they get out of your system, it's the one that they clean up and they put it back into the bottle, and the bottle, you drink it again and go back to the system. Isn't that how they do it? That's how they do it. So let me move on. Otherwise, I get myself into trouble here. But he said, my sheep will hear my voice. And this is what I'm trying to tell you. The Bible said in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, he said, the anointing I've given you is abides in you, and no, you don't need anyone to teach you. The anointing that is in your life is in you. But you don't need anyone that God has put inside you. You don't need anyone to teach you. But it's true, it's not a lie, that the anointing that put inside you, so hearing God's voice, you don't need anybody to teach you, because all you have to do is, God, you taught me how to hear your voice the first time. Nobody did. It's not a preacher. The preacher spoke the word, and God took the word inside your spirit. Who is the word? Jesus is the word. See, the preacher spoke the word, and the word became life inside you. He said, the word that I speak are spirit and what? Are life. He said, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. The word himself is what? Is God. So, the speaker spoke the word, we became life inside you, and Jesus Christ himself is life. Then he used the word that is life to speak to your heart. And say, oh, wow, I feel good. He's coming to my heart. I've given my life to Jesus. He's forgiven me. I'm free. Why? Because the word life got into you. So he who understood you, he who spoke to you, he who managed to speak to your heart can keep speaking to your heart all the time. The problem is, we don't even know God's spirit. We thought it's this preacher that spoke to us. We thought it's the preacher. And the Bible says, nobody can come to the Father unless the Father draw the what? No one can come to Jesus unless he draws what? The people to himself. These are all scripture. So now, you've heard his voice. Nobody taught you how to hear his voice. You've heard his voice. So there's something about do it again. Why don't you go back to the original place, how he spoke to your heart? Why don't you say, Lord, can you take me back to how you got my attention? Can you take me back to the point that you got my attention? That I had no choice. I said, Jesus, my heart leaped. You know what? How did you know it was God speaking to you? He knows. How did you know? Because he knows how to capture your heart. He got your heart. They said, that is Jesus. Yeah, that's Jesus. You, Jesus. You, Jesus. And then all the sins you've been carrying all along, they all just washed away because you gave your life to Jesus. So how do you get back to where you were? It's just simple prayer. Lord, can you take me back to the day I became a born-again Christian? I have not been hearing you any longer. Lord, can you bring me back to them? I call it back to the Garden of Eden. Came me back to the garden. And a lot of people find it difficult to go back to the Garden of Eden. You know, the Garden of Eden is not the bad thing. It's the people that they make a wrong choice. Instead of life, they chose death. Adam and Eve chose death. Because God said it before them. I've given you all these things to eat, but this is no good. The tree of good and knowledge and evil, knowledge of good and... Knowledge of good and evil. But they chose the knowledge of good and evil. That's why we all fail. So, what am I saying this morning? What am I saying this afternoon? Everybody can hear God's voice. Everybody can hear his voice. Because if you're a born again Christian, you can hear his voice. And if you're a born again Christian, you are a sheep. And there's no way that, let me ask you this question. A woman is pregnant. When a woman is pregnant, the child in the woman's stomach knows the father's voice and knows the mother's voice. How do you think they know? Because they hear it all the what? They hear it all the time. You speak all the time, the baby in your stomach is hearing your voice. And it is the man. She's speaking. That's why when the baby begins to move, when you put your ear there. To kick the man, and the woman, ouch! And you listen, and the son, daughter, how are you doing there? They listen to your voice. That's why when the baby is born, they could tell who's mom and who's dad because based on the voice. That's all they know, the voice. So the same thing when you become a born again Christian, because you've had this distinctive voice that spoke to you. There's some distinctiveness. There's some speciality. There's a tailored suit. I call it tailored suit. Made for you on that day that he spoke to you. Only you can understand the voice on that day. Because 10 people, when there are 10 people give their life to Jesus, every one of them is different. They all didn't hear God's voice at the same time. They all heard the same God's voice, but differently. They heard it what? Differently. Just like Brother Kim here heard his voice and the wife heard his voice differently. Did you hear the same voice on that day? When you both became a born-again Christian? No. 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 You know, I mean, the way he spoke to your wife is different than the way he spoke to you, but it's all hearing his voice. And when you spoke to you, Because you heard him, you responded. Because hearing God and being a sheep needs some response. The problem in this world is that we listen to God more than we hear his voice. When we hear his voice, we have to respond. Once you hear his voice, you have to respond. People ask me the question all the time, how come you don't find it difficult to hear his voice? Because I've gone back to the original place. I've relived this over and over. Come back. I still remember where I gave my life to. I still remember the day. I remember the time. I remember the place. And I go back there over and over. When I'm not hearing from him, I go back there. I say, God, you know how to speak to my heart. Can you remind me again? Can you tug my heart again? Lord, you know what? I'm hearing other voices more than I'm hearing your voice. But on that day, you separated your voice from hearing other voices. You made your voice so distinct that I could hear your voice and I could come to you. So would you do that again? Would you go back again and do this to me? God, I am your sheep. I'm finding hard to hear your voice. But Lord, you remember how you spoke to me that day too. On that day, there were so many voices. Your voice was speaking to you. The devil's voice was speaking to you. Jesus was speaking to you. But you made your voice so distinctly clear. And you made a way that I could follow you. I could come to the front, or I could raise up my hand. I could open my mouth and say, Jesus, come into my heart. I could separate all the three voices. I could tell which one is your voice because I responded. See what I'm trying to teach you? Because you can go back and say, God, you're a special, you're an expert in this. Can you take me back to that day? How many people can remember the day they were born again Christian? Raise up your hand. That you can remember that day. You can remember that point. And you can remember your action on that day. So why can't you go back there? Why can't you go back to that place? Why, you see, God loves to... When God repeats something, it's, you know what? Anytime God repeats something, it's amazingly powerful. Verily, verily, I say, watch out. Very, verily. So when God begins to see, because I've asked him to repeat this action to me all the time, it becomes powerful. Now I can camp there. I can't just keep going back, and now I can. The first one is you have to ask him to what? To bring you back to the place you were born again, Christian. Bring you back to that place. God. I remember that day that you showed up in my room. Lord, wow. Lord, can you bring me back to the place whereby I felt so guilty? When I met you, I felt so guilty. I felt so dirty. And you rub your hand on my head. And I felt so clean. I felt even cleaner than the day I was born. I was completely renewed. I never knew what sin was anymore. There was something special you did for me that day. Lord, can you bring me back to that place? I want to experience that again. Amen. I want to go back to that place where I've never been before. But when you brought me, you managed to capture my heart. And my heart was just you and me alone. There was nothing else that separated us. This is between you and me. And Lord, can you take me back to that? I can. Do you know, sometimes we find it hard to focus on each other. But when you are focused on God, we sang, in your presence is heaven to me. On that day, his presence, that captured your heart. His voice, that captured your heart. His word, that became life in you, captured you. And when it captured you, guess what happened? You turned from that wicked ways and came back to life, and you became life. So when you ask him to take you back, I can tell you this, because he said, my sheep will hear my voice. And he is so desperate for you to hear his voice, he won't let you go. You keep going back to that place. So when you get going back to that place, now you are hearing him. There's no way in a day that I wouldn't hear him. When I wake up in the morning, I choose life and I hear him. That's really my message tonight. I said before you, life and death, choose life. I said before you, life and death, choose life. So here we are. God made you. He made a distinct way. He's found a way, distinct way of speaking to your heart. He knows how to capture your heart. He knows how to. Isn't that something that you go somewhere and somebody speak one word? And you weren't planning to cry. You weren't planning to just fall apart. I mean, you go somewhere and kaboom! Whoa. Ooh. That's a good word. Ooh. And your heart begins to what? Melt. The word captured your heart, the words broke through and drew you and begin to expose the things that was holding you back. But when you keep going back to the same place and you begin to hear him all the time, then it's easy for you to follow him. But when you hear instructions, you follow him. And when you follow him, you don't have to do anything. See, the problem is that we've been taught in Europe and North America, you have to do something. If you don't do something, something's wrong. You have to do this to become, you know, when I became a born-again Christian, they said, well, you have to become well-educated. You have to have double PhD. You have to learn how to read English very well. You have to learn how to use concordance. You have to read your Bible more than 100 times. You have to finish the whole Bible more than 100 times before you can become a preacher. And I fail all of them. I haven't had PhD, and I don't speak English very well. Because when I came to Canada, my English was terrible. People used to laugh at me because I have an accent. And I said, Lord, why would you bring me to people that doesn't? God has a good sense of humor. God has a what?
Good sense of humor.
Good sense of humor. Why would you bring somebody who doesn't speak good English to people who speak English? They become the Bureans. You know what the Bureans are? They check every speech. They check every comma. And I should remember when I finished speaking, Pastor, you didn't put punctuation here. You didn't, you said duh and it's day. And I remember one day I said something. I don't know what I said, but it's not a good thing. Everybody's face is. You could suck the whole room. And me, I didn't know I said something bad. It just came, something came out of my mouth. And everybody. And everybody, the whole place was quiet. And I said, did I say something wrong? I said, yes, Pastor. Oops. Do you know what I'm saying? And I'm saying, oh, it just came out. I didn't plan it. And so my speech writer, my wife, has been checking on me. As soon as we finished speaking, honey, how did I do? Oh, that you shouldn't have said that word over here. I said, well, Jesus isn't mine. Jesus wasn't English either. Jesus is Jewish. He speak Aramaic. He didn't speak English. So, me and Jesus have become one. We both don't speak English. I'm trying. And I said, well, if you complain about me not speaking good English, come and learn my language and see how far you go. Come and learn my tribal language. We'll see how good you're going to do. So people don't bother me anymore. Because I've told them, I've used certain words in my language, they say, huh? How do you pronounce that? I said they couldn't even, they could, because you have to have the way you roll your tongue. They can roll their tongue that way. So they stop bugging me now. You know? So, but what I'm trying to say is that I'm almost ending him. What I'm trying to say here is that you don't need anyone to teach you how to hear God's voice. You need him to teach you how to hear his voice. In the first place, he taught you how to hear his voice. So if you're not hearing his voice, why don't you go back to the day you became a born-again Christian? And I've been there over and over and over. When I'm struggling to hear God in certain areas of my life, because we all struggle in this area, okay? There are certain times God, you want to hear, you want to make a big decision, you want to hear God from it, don't we? And you say, Lord, I need an answer to this. So I go back to that place again. Say, God, you know how to speak to my heart. That the fundamental part of Christianity is hearing you.
Amen.
The key, when we talk about the key things for Christianity is hearing him. And when you're not hearing about this particular thing, there's nothing wrong with that. There's something wrong with not. When you're not hearing about this particular thing, you can go back to him, and I can tell you this, because this is a guarantee. It's his word. My sheep will hear my word. It's a guarantee. Jesus didn't say, well, my sheep will hear my voice only in certain things. You know what I mean? He said, my sheep, my sheep is plural. My sheep will hear my voice every day, every minute, every second, every time. We can. Because he who spoke to you on the day you became a born again can do it again. Can do it again. All you have to do is get into the atmosphere on that day when you became a born again Christian and say, God, I don't hear you anymore. Help me here. You brought me, I need to make a decision. You bring me, teach me. We wanted to start a church in Barry. Everybody kept telling me, Pastor, this is not right. This is not God. And I'm saying, and I went back to the place and the Lord says, Zach, did I tell you it's not me? I said, but people are saying that. And we are negotiating with another church, went to give us the building, and the building wasn't coming together, and they were asking for so much, and they were demanding, and the Lord says, Zach, that's your building. What's your problem? I said, but I haven't seen it yet. He said, well, Zach, just be quiet and wait. So I went to talk to people again. They said, Pastor, this is not going to work. And I go back again. He said, Zach, I haven't changed my mind. What's your problem? I said, but you don't understand. You don't listen to these people all the time. I am. He said, Zach, I told you. Don't worry, brother. I'll fix it. So anyway, I went back again. 2 years. And then I went back to God. You know what? This is not working. He said, Zach, I told you this building is yours. What's your problem? I said, I have a problem. The problem is, and he says, Zach, you have a problem. You don't want to be like Saul. I said, like Saul? See, yeah. God spoke to Saul, and he was listening to people. He got himself into trouble. And guess what? Saul lost his whole kingdom. Everything. I'm not saying you shouldn't listen to people, but I knew God spoke to me, so I stuck to it. And but he knows how to move. He's a chess master. He knows how to move the king and queen. He knows how to move all the pieces together to fulfill. And he did that and it came well. That's why we have a fourth church. We have a building. What I'm saying is, people say this. Maybe there are misconceptions. People tell you cannot hear God's voice. People have this misconception that they hear from the devil more than they hear from God. If you are his sheep, you have to hear from him. It's a promise he made to you. And the promise is in the word of God. It's in the Bible. He made this promise. He said, my sheep, will hear a portion of my voice. No. He said, my sheep. And the funny thing, let me finish with this. My funny thing is that, see, my sheep will hear my voice and they what? They what? They follow. You cannot hear his voice and not follow him. The day you heard his voice, on the day you became a born again, you heard his voice and you decided to follow him. In those days when they didn't know the voice, he said, pick up your cross and follow me. That cross was Jesus speaking to them. He said, pick up your cross and follow me. Maybe tonight, maybe today, you are struggling to hear the voice of God. Maybe there are decisions you need to make, and it's so difficult. You don't know how to make this decision. We can start today by you going back to that day. We can start today. You can make a decision. Today, I'm going back to where it originally started. I'm going to go back, because you know my heart more than me. Do you know, the Bible says that the heart is deceitful and wicked. The Bible says our heart, is deceitful and is wicked. But he who made it knows it's not deceitful. He who made it knows the right way. So he can, you know what? And let me tell you, one of the things I'm saying also is, anytime you hear God's voice, it goes through the heart, isn't it?
Yes.
It goes into the what? And let me tell you the secret. When you hear his voice, it goes into your heart. It makes your heart blood flows. You never have a heart attack. I'm telling you this. Look, there's a research that the majority of people who hear God. Oh, let me not scare you up. That's why it is important to hear him. Because out of your heart, it pumps. And God speaks through our heart. We hear with our ears, we hear with our heart. There are so many ways we hear from God. But they said the people who hear God all the time, they do not have heart problems. Wow. So can you imagine every Christian hearing God's voice, they don't have heart problems? Wow! That would change the world, wouldn't it? Wouldn't you want that to change our world? Hearing from him, because he made your heart. And he makes the blood to palpitate. So if you're struggling hearing from God, if you find it difficult to make certain decisions, today we can go back to where we became born again Christian. Say, Lord, I didn't plan this. You planned it. Do you know your salvation? You didn't plan it. Do you know you didn't bring yourself here today? Do you know he dragged you here? You're not here by coincidence, you know? You're not here by accident, you know? Whether you believe or not, you're not here by accident. He brought you here. He will use somebody to bring you here. I used to be a Muslim imam. He used people to get me to know, to go to the place that I can listen to Jesus. I mean, can you imagine that? He used people. they got my attention, and because I became their friends, they said, can you give us a ride? And my plan was to give them a ride, but God has something else in my mind. I didn't have it in mind. Mine is to give him a ride to the stadium, walk away. But when I got stuck at the back of the stadium, I kept listening to the same words over and over, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And then I closed my ears, it doesn't work. I did everything, and I knew if I accepted Jesus, I'll be dead. I knew that until I came to Canada and I gave my life to Jesus, and I'm still alive. Why? Because God has already planned every single time when you do in life. He already knew the day I was coming to Jesus. He knew he ordained it. He knew I was coming to what? Whitney. He knew I was going to be here. Wow. Could you imagine this? From the creation of the world, God knew you are going to be here today. He knew. And he will make every way for you to get here. One day we're going to a conference and I was going to speak at a conference and there was a snowstorm. This big snowstorm. And they said, well, Pastor, there's a snowstorm, we should cancel it. And the Lord said to me, no. The Lord said to me, no. Go. And I said, the roads are blocked. He said, go. So I told the pastor, I came to speak in Smith Falls. I said, the roads are all blocked. I said, the Lord told me to go. He said, how do we get there? He said, well, we'll get there. The pastor has no snow tires. We are sliding on the road. Cars are all over the place. Oh, my goodness. I said, Lord, are you sure? He said, yeah, let's go. And you know what? We went there. There were only 5 people in the room. That's why it is important. And I say this to my church. Well, it's one person, 10,000 people, 100,000, I'll still speak exactly the way I'll speak. I won't change. I'll still be as passionate as I'm going to speak for 10,000, even as I'm going to speak for one person. So on this day, 5 people were in the room. 5 people. The pastor's wife, the pastor, and 3 other people, including myself, we have become 6 people, were in the room. 3 of them were Muslims. Wow. Are you hearing me? 3 of them were Muslims. They had a different plan by coming there. They came to destruct. But God has something else in mind. What the enemy meant for evil, God turned around. They were coming to. So when I got there, and the Lord said to me, Zach, don't preach. 5 people, 6 people, don't preach. I said, how can I not preach? You told me to come here. He said, how can I not preach? He said, just tell your story and sit down. When you finish telling your story, sit down. And I said, I got to make an altar call. Somebody's got to be saved. I'm just telling you the importance of hearing him. I finished speaking. I finished telling my testimony. And I sat down. And the pastor came in. Aren't you going to make an altar call? He told me not to. Oh. So we drove all these 2.5 hours to this place, and there are 3 Muslims there. You don't want to make an altar call for them to be saved. I said, yeah, I don't save people. And I sat down, and we're all looking at each other, and I'm sitting down. I'm sitting down. 5 minutes, nothing. 10 minutes, nothing. And I'm saying, you know when you sit quiet and nothing moves, eh? You begin to get, somebody's got to play music, somebody's got to sing choruses, somebody's got to pray for somebody. 15 minutes. And the pastor's beginning to get nervous now. 20 minutes. Pastor Zach, are you going to do something? I said, look, I can't do anything. Don't just sit down. 25 minutes. 30 minutes, exactly 29 minutes, 47 seconds. I remember that. One of the Muslims just got up to the front. I thought he was coming to hit me. So I'm a boxer, so I always stood in my defensive mode. I was ready for him. He just came right by me and circled me and then went to his knees and raised up his hand. Said, Jesus, I give up. And I'm saying, I didn't make another call. Can you imagine this? I didn't make another call. Jesus told Can you imagine this? And then the other person got up again. And I'm saying, wait a minute, Jesus, can we do it differently? Can I make an altar call? You hear what I'm saying? The other one person went. And you could see the tears in their eyes. I said, Jesus, this is not right. He said, Zach, I didn't bring you. That's not what I came here to do. I just came here to give you a testimony and shut up. I said, but I need to make an altar call. Somebody got to get saved. So the three of them, just came and knelt down. And I'm hearing, Jesus, we don't know you. Jesus, we know you as a prophet. This time I know you, you are the son. How can we be saved? And I'm saying, how can they be saved? Jesus, I can do it. Zach, that's not what I brought you to do. I told you to tell your testimony and sit down. And I say, this is not right. It's no storm. You know what he did? He led all the three of them to Jesus. Jesus led them to Jesus. And today, they're still in Smith Falls. They have invited me in November to come to the church. And I did nothing. How can you not do something? I mean, you are the greatest preacher in the whole world. You didn't make an altar call. What kind of preacher are you? You didn't make an altar call. He said, my sheep will hear my what? My voice and the what? They follow me. If I were to make an altar call, they won't be saved. Because I'll be out of his what? Will. See what you see how important it is to hear. So here I am saying, oh my goodness. So I went home, and when I got home, the first thing the wife asked, oh, how did the service go? I said, terrible. I said, terrible. I had three people got saved. I said, three people got saved. So, wow, that's amazing. And there were three Muslims. That's amazing. I said, I did nothing. Whoa, what do you mean you did nothing? So he saved them. He brought them there, and he saved them. And do you know, it took them 4.5 hours to get through the snow to come to the church. And you know why they came to the church? Somebody invited them, and they didn't invite them to the church because the church was very warm. That's why they came in. The church was warm. That's when they came in. They needed shelter. And they came, and this guy came and told them. You see how God works? Zach, go to Smith Falls. Listen, don't do nothing. Just go. Forget about all the snow that is happening. Just go there. My sheep will hear what? I've heard his voice, and I called the pastor. Pastor, I'm coming. He said, are you crazy? And I said, I don't know, but he told me to come. He said, Zach, you don't understand. Nobody's going to show up. I said, doesn't matter. If it's one person, I'll be there. He told me to come. I'm coming. Well, I mean, if you're driving 3.5 from Midhurst, you're driving to Smith Falls, and he's driving 10 minutes from his house to the church, he can do that. But I drove 3.5 hours. And these people drove 4.5 hours. So I had him go to Smith Falls. I'm going to Smith. It's already pre-planned, but the snow was so bad. But I said, he told me to go. And then he told me to give my own testimony. And do you know how hard it is to resist not making an altar call? Do you know how hard it is? To you guys, maybe easy, but to me, it was a big deal. And especially when you go home, all the ego you have, all the pride, all the thing that is going to make me look popular, going to make me look good. And then you come home, you want to prove to your wife. I walked home and she said, whoa, three people got to say yes. And I'm saying, honey, don't say yes. I said, why? Oh, look, come and give me. And she gave me a hug and she wanted to make me feel good. But I couldn't, because I did nothing. I did absolutely nothing. And I can't claim credit for it because I didn't do anything. All I did was to be obedient and sit down. How can you be a preacher and not make an altar call? I mean, that's not there. That just doesn't work that way. Philip had to make an altar call for one person and got the person saved. And he baptized them. But when you hear my voice, when the Bible says, my sheep will hear my voice and they follow me. The very thing that makes us to become a Christianity, we abandon the very thing that makes us to become Christians. You know what made us to become Christians? By hearing his voice. The very thing that makes us to become who really we are, we abandon that. Now we hear, some people hear more of the devil's voice than hearing God's voice. You know? And God is saying, let's get back to our roots. Get back to your roots. Get back to the very thing that changed your life. When the Bible says you become a new person, get back to being a new person every single day. Get back to being a new person, everything. Get back to the basics of Christianity. That's, you know what? Anybody who talks about Christianity, it's not miracles, you know? That comes out of the result of Christianity. You know what makes you a Christian? Hearing his voice. That's the only thing that makes you hear his Christian. Because on that day, he said, out of your heart, what? Out of your mouth, what? You confess, out of your heart, what? You believe. Then you become a what? Born again Christian. That's a very basic Christianity. Every single person who have become a born again Christian had to mention Jesus' name to come into his heart to become a Lord and Savior. Every single person. And that makes you a Christian. The very thing that makes us to be who we are is the very thing that a lot of people struggle with. Wow. And I'm saying, you don't need to struggle with this. You don't need to see. People say, I'm working hard to hear God's voice. I'm working hard. People are trying hard. They're doing everything hard. They're working hard. They practice it. But on that day, you didn't practice hearing God's voice, eh? You didn't practice it. It just happens. It's not by accident. He intentionally came to you. And he's personal. He's a personal God. See why I'm telling you, hearing God's voice is so personal. He came to you personal. That means that's how precious you are to him. He came to you personally. He intentionally spent time with you. On that day, everybody else is not important. This is you. You are the only person that is important. That's how it's so personal. He intentionally left the whole throne room, left his own domain, left heaven. He came to you. That's how important you are to him. So why do you think he's going to abandon you? Somebody who left the whole world to come to you. Why do you think he'll abandon you? But because we listen to lies of the devil. So now this is what I want to do. This water, let it do good to my body. He said, choose life. This is what I have in mind. That doesn't mean I shouldn't make an altar call. Okay. That's different. Let's all stand up. Is everybody okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? Is everybody, are you all right? Maybe tonight, after when I finish, I'd like to ask questions. Because I don't want you to go home and not understanding this. This is a basic Christianity. I know, we've been Christians for a long time. But if you understand this basic, what Christianity is all about, this is the basis of the basics. This is the foundation of your Christianity. This is the bedrock. This is the bedrock of your foundation. This is the bedrock of you being a Christian. This is the main reason why Jesus came, so you can hear him. If you follow the basic things, there are certain things you're going to do in science. If you don't follow the basic things, you're in trouble. If you don't follow the basic instructions, I used to do programming. Is it not, if you don't, if there are certain, there are programs if you want to program, if you don't follow the basic things you do to program, you get mixed up. Then the program is not going to work. This is, God has programmed this for you and I, that this is our basic Christianity. This is the bedrock. This is the solid fund. When you get this, your foundation cannot be rocked. But God used me as a Muslim, as an ex-Muslim, to get the foundation. That's the book I'm writing. That's my book. This is the foundation that we need to get back to our foundation. Because once you understand this, once you understand hearing the voice, God's voice, and you follow him, then it's easy to make decisions on big ones. It's easy, because when you want to make a big decision, you can go back and say, okay, God, you said, and with all that, God doesn't require to do anything. Jesus did nothing. God didn't even tell Jesus to use his brains. He said, I can do nothing on my what? What does that mean? He cannot do anything without God. I can do nothing on my own, so why should I do something on my own? That's why, because I do it on my own, that's why it doesn't work. That's why it's failed. That's why it doesn't work. So my question to you today is, have you lost hearing God's voice? Have you lost hearing his voice? If you have, this evening, at this moment, at this time here, I want us to get back to it again. If you've lost his voice, and look, I'm not, sorry. I'm not talking about hearing one day here, today, one day. No, I'm talking about hearing him every day. I'm talking about hearing him all the time. You get up in the morning, okay, Zach, do this. Like this morning, when I got up this morning, he said, Zach, go shower first. I said, why? He said, go shower. So I went to the shower, and he said, when you shower, clean the. Does it make sense? Remember, when God does certain things, it doesn't make sense. I clean all the, and I finish showering. I say, what next? He said, lie down. I said, why? He said, lie down and wait for me. I said, how long do I have to wait? I'm a human. I said, how long do I have to wait? He said, Zach, just wait, I'll tell you. And then suddenly in my room, I felt, you know when the Bible says there's a rushing wind? I felt the wind. And I look at the window. The window wasn't opened. And I'm saying, what's that? He walked into the room with a mushy rising wind in my room. And I could feel the cold. I could just feel him. I could feel the cold. And I went to look at the window. I tried to, but the window wasn't open. How did the wind come in? And he said, Zach, I'm here. And I said, why are you here? He said, I'm here for you. That's it. This is my domain. You came here, and I want to bless this place. And I said, but I know you're already here. He said, Zach, no. I carry my presence. Your presence is heaven to me. And I got lost in his presence. I missed track of time. I was there an hour, 2 hours, and 3 hours. And I said, oh, people are downstairs.